Welcome to the ENC Wedding Talk Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Bertling. I really appreciate you being here to listen as we discuss tips to help you plan your wedding. I'm sure you will find our topics beneficial to you in your planning process. In our podcast, we'll have wedding professionals, brides, grooms, and others participating in discussions that will assist you in your planning. And it is my hope to help you reduce your stress level as well. Okay. Hey, welcome back to the ENC Wedding Talk Podcast. I'm Jennifer Bertling, and I am joined by Fox Feltman and also Frankie Hill of BTA Entertainment. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
So today we're going to talk about a bundling of services. And Fox, you know, you started out as a DJ and then you slowly have added these services in the bundling. And tell us a little bit about those bundles and how it can benefit our listeners if they chose to go that route.
So you can, with all of our services, you can choose and pick things a la carte. But if you choose one of the bundles, one of our packages, it saves a little bit of money for the client. And it more or less is a one-stop shop. Now, we don't do everything. But you pretty much have the main person that you're going to be talking to, and then it's going to branch out to the individuals who are running those specific departments. So when we talk about that, we're more or less talking about videography, wedding planning, lighting, design. You know, we do all that stuff. So you would end up doing everything through either Frankie or I, who do the sales. Mm-hmm. And then it would branch out. If you were doing planning, you would end up talking to Frankie because she pretty much runs that division. If you're doing videography, you would end up talking to Sarah or Jamie, who do our videography. And then it would just kind of go from there. But it's pretty much one contract, you know, one payment. You always have a go-to person, and they can always come to either one of us.
Mm-hmm. So one of you is always the point of the main point of contact.
Yeah. Yes. What we try to do away from bundles, what we try to do when we're doing the contract specifically for the entertainment, for the DJ part, is, Frankie and I will do all the sales and the contracting. But once the contracting is done, the client then moves to their point of contact, who is the actual entertainer for that wedding.
Okay. That sounds good. And Frankie, there's some other things that you offer besides what Fox had mentioned. You want to talk about some of those services?
We offer photo booths. We offer day of planning and coordination now. Like you said, the lighting, you know, there's lots of things that we've, you know, try to expand on. The videography and the photo booth is really popular, and we've been doing that. I've been a DJ for a long time. And
you were the first DJ I met when we came to town, and you came and you DJed our Girl Scout 100th anniversary
I
event.
I actually remember
that. Do you remember that?
I remember that. It was outside.
It was.
I remember that very well, because we did dancing and line dancing, and all the girls got out there. That was a lot of fun. I had forgotten until you said something. But yeah, you know, over time, you know, I've seen a lot. You know, I always joke about I should write a book because you see a lot. But, you know, getting older, you know, I wanted to kind of do something in the wedding industry, but maybe, you know, lifting and carrying all that big equipment was a little more for me at the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I did my research, took some online classes. At the time, they weren't doing in-person classes over COVID, did certifications. And, you know, did a little bit of internship at a couple of the popular venues here in town. And, you know, now getting into the planning and day of coordination, it's really, I feel my wheelhouse now. I love it. It's a lot of fun.
Your back is feeling
and
better.
My back is much happier with me, for sure.
Lifting all that equipment is heavy, like those speakers and things.
And definitely. And to be honest with you, Jennifer, we, through the time we've been together for 13, 14 years now. Mm-hmm. I would tell you through that time up till very recently, most of our weddings, there was no day of coordinator or wedding planner. Mm-hmm. We were it.
Yeah.
So we would be very, very, very involved in the running of the reception. setting up the ceremony. Now, for DJs, we're not helping bustle the dress and waiting hand and foot on the bride and groom,
right?
You know, doing all the things that a traditional wedding planner does. But it did set her up for already knowing a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other plus with it being a bundle with us is that she and her team know the brand that we represent.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are not the Your Day, Your Way company. We have, mm-hmm. as you know, we have a very specific, fun, upbeat brand.
Right.
And a lot of people want the fun.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a lot of people that don't want that interaction.
That's right.
They want a very laid back, chill mm-hmm. wedding. They want to be able to give you 5 pages of music, and that's what they want you to play.
Right.
And our company's not that.
Right. You know, tell everybody a little bit about what you do, because it, you know, that's a question that I ask. A lot of times I get hired as month of service,
mm-hmm.
so I don't necessarily give always am able to give a reference, but when I am, I always ask them, like, do you want games? Do you want, you know, I ask them what kind of style mm-hmm. wedding you want. And so in the back of my mind, I'm always thinking, well, if they want to play games and do something fun, you know, you need to talk to BTA. So tell everybody a little bit about your style.
Okay. So I'm in year, I just figured out today, year 35 of weddings.
Wow. Believe
it or not. And most of that time, I was pretty much the average wedding DJ that stood behind their little console.
Mm-hmm.
I played whatever music the bride and groom gave me, and we could do a wedding this week with 200 people and 150 people would dance. We could do a wedding next week where they requested darn near the same music and 10 people would dance all night.
Yes.
And I got really, really tired of it, blamed myself for a lot of it, which had nothing to do with me. Oh, and by the way, if the playlist that we were given by the bride did not work, we got told we stink.
Uh-huh.
If the playlist that we were given by the bride did work, the bride got the credit. We only got the negative part of it. So it really got to the point where I almost got out of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And this is right around the time that Frankie and I met, and I took about a year off. I started doing seminars and workshops, and I decided that I wanted the company to become very interactive. I'm originally from Philadelphia, so the interaction was very big there in the 90s. And once I got here, not so much. So I wanted to incorporate a lot of that to make things different. And there's a DJ on every corner,
mm-hmm.
as you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to create something with our company that set us apart from everyone else, that if they wanted what they saw or heard of, they had to come to us. Because
mm-hmm.
otherwise, people aren't – they can try, but they're not going to be able to execute what we've mastered. So it was really like that. And then going to these seminars and workshops, specifically one in Las Vegas, which was the nightclub and bar expo. I got to see John Taffer speak one day. He's the guy that produces and hosts Bar Rescue.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were sitting there through the seminar, we ended up talking about music. He was talking about music. And I was a nightclub DJ for 20 some years too. And I never realized it, but he was the one that pretty much said, people do not dance.
Right.
For hours straight.
They just don't.
They dance for 20, 25 minutes at a time. They want to get off the floor, get a drink, take a breath, do whatever, and then they'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
And he challenged us and said, when you go back to your event or your gig at the club this week, watch your dance floor. People don't usually move around. Wherever they're dancing, they stay dance while they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't kidding. People would dance for 15, 20, 25 minutes, and they'd leave, and you'd look back down. It'd be a whole new set of people. The problem with the bars and the clubs that we, even as patrons, don't see is that, for example, I did a club in Jacksonville, Alexander's, and that club at the time could hold 800 people. But that dance floor could only hold 75.
Oh, really?
So the dance floor was always packed.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Now, we don't have that ability with weddings.
Right.
Right. So some weddings, like Frankie and I did a wedding last Saturday, we only had 40 guests.
Mm-hmm.
I did a wedding this Saturday, same venue. Can I say the venue?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Copper Ridge. Mm-hmm. So our dance floor was the same size. I had all the same stuff, but I had 200 guests.
Right.
So, you know, it's a little harder working with less people, but we do the same thing regardless to mm-hmm. entertain them, get them up. Not everybody's going to dance, and the people that do dance aren't going to dance all night long.
Mm-hmm.
So
they wanted to mingle with the other guests too and talk and take that break. And, you know, so you play some games and things. Talk a little bit about that. I don't know if, Frankie, you want to say maybe one of your favorite things that you would do?
I'll say this first and then you can do it.
Okay.
We don't call them games.
Oh, okay. All right.
We don't call them games.
I'm writing it down.
Everything we do, we call interactions.
Okay.
And there's a reason, Jen. When people hear games, they think we're going to come out with hula hoops and start making people do contests on the floor with hula hoops and just weird stuff. That there are some DJs that do that, mm-hmm. but that's not what we do. So we don't want them thinking games.
Okay.
That's why we say it anyway.
Very good.
So interacting with guests, you know, we want people to feel like they're making memories. You know, we want them to be engaged throughout the night. So, you know, having your guest being involved in things, not just sitting at a table watching things unfold, it makes them feel like they're special. They're there at your wedding, but they're also participating and they're making things happen with the couple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't ever want people to feel bored or leave. You know, our goals are always, you spend a lot of money on a reception.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so we want you to feel like your guests have stayed as long as we can get them to stay.
It's
just, you know, it's sad when they don't have good entertainment. I mean, when in the planning part side of it, you know, there have been a few weddings that I've worked where I wasn't with, you know, BTA entertainers.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen some that, you know, they have a different DJ. And if they're not interacting, I mean, I've seen 75 or 80% of the guests leaving before the cake's even cut.
Right.
Because they don't have anything to do.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping this constant energy and having this kind of a roller coaster effect, you know, up and down, you know, we'll come down and do parent dances. And then we're going to get up and do some dancing and do some fun stuff and interact with them a little bit. Then we'll come down and you know, do something else. So it's always like, well, we don't want to leave. We might miss something, mm-hmm. you know. So that's always been fun for me. Because I've had that kind of energy my whole career in DJing as well. And there's been some of the things that we've come up with going to some of these shows, these expos. I think my favorite thing that we've always done, and it worked so well over COVID, is for the buffets. You know, getting people up to go to the buffet. You know, we do a fun little TV movie theme song trivia. And folks love it. I mean, and it's a lot of fun.
They
and
do.
It makes great content for the photos.
Well, and even not even because of COVID, because I've seen you do that before. And I really like that because they're all running. Everybody's competitive, right? They're like, we want our table to win so we can go up to the buffet first.
Yes. And, you know, sometimes we've adjusted, you know, if the bride says, I want my parents or my bridal party or my grandparents, you know, we go ahead and let them go.
Of course.
And then let everybody else play. It does a couple of things. You know, it takes people's minds off of, you know, we're hungry. When are we going to go eat?
Right. chance might be next.
Right. You know, it keeps people kind of engaged and mm-hmm. icebreaker type mm-hmm. stuff with people around a table who may not know one another.
That's true.
And it also helps with catering because you can't have, you know, 150 people flock a buffet all at once because the caterers can't keep up with it. So mm-hmm. it does kind of assist with a lot of things. So it's kind of a fun way to interact and, you know, make things a little bit easier on the other vendors as well. But yeah, I mean, that's probably one of my favorites.
And for our company, it basically, once our hands are on the guests, we have them from that point on. And if we start interacting and entertaining from moment one, it's stuff they've never seen before at most weddings. Because
mm-hmm.
most weddings it is table number three to the buffet.
Right.
You know? And then us as DJs, especially if we're the ones calling the tables, we're starting to do other things.
Yes.
And then you look up and you're like, oh, there's nobody at the buffet. Or table number five. Where,
oh, I skipped number four.
Yeah, like when we're interacting, our heads are in the game.
That's true.
So we're playing that interaction with them. Mm-hmm. And we can kind of make jokes. And Saturday we did one. I don't remember what it was right now, but the guy ran up and said the Addams Family. And I thought, what? It wasn't the Addams Family. But then I realized in my head, the beginning did sound like that.
Oh, uh-huh.
But he was really mad. And people get mad when they get the wrong answer, too.
Not really mad, but just kind of like, oh, man.
Darn it.
Because they're playing for their entire table, so they got a lot riding
or
on
their
it.
Table, right. Or their table mate tells them the wrong answer, and then they go back and they're like, that wasn't right.
Their heads held down low.
But I think the TV and the movie theme trivia, I think it moves dinner along a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been doing this a long time too. And in most weddings, we can have 250 people to the buffet and done dinner within an hour.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which when we're just calling table numbers, it seems that it gets more drawn out.
It does seem drawn out. I don't know why, but you're right. There's a different kind of energy in the room when you're having that interaction with them. I noticed I didn't say games because I almost did.
But it does kind of set
teaching me well.
It does set the mood.
And it does.
It does kind of give these guests, well, this is different. You know, I've never been to a wedding that did this before. You know, it kind of gives them an insight on the rest of the night, how it's going to kind of play out. So it's kind of nice to start the night off with a big rush and go from there.
So, were you going to say something, Fox?
We're really giving the wedding, the bride and groom, their family, their guest, we're really giving them an experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not our show. We don't act like we want the attention because the attention shouldn't be on us. We just direct. And I was going to piggyback off something Frankie said earlier. There have been events that I've just went and done because I didn't have a wedding to DJ today, but we had the photo booth somewhere and it's been a different DJ. And you don't know when anything's happening. I mean, they literally, some DJs do not announce the father-daughter dancer. If they do, it's so nonchalant, nobody heard it.
Mm-hmm.
When's the cake getting cut? So a lot of that for us, one of the things I instilled in all of our talent is that we are direction.
And the DJ entertainment is direction.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because even as a planner, I don't like to get on the mic and say, oh, no, do this. You know, I might go over and release a table if it's a band or something. Mm-hmm. But it's not my favorite thing to do.
Right.
No, and most people are terrified of a mic. And I mean, as a planner, you're not hired to get on the mic.
Right.
You know?
You got a lot of other things to
do. Yes, all right. I'm making sure that food's going.
Yeah. Yeah. There really is. And I think through time, you know, Frankie's really realized that there was a lot more on the planner side than what we saw as DJs and even what we did when we were the quote unquote day of planner.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of nuances and so many moving parts, but that's another podcast.
Yes,
Frankie,
yeah.
We can talk about the details.
Yes. So interactive is we have to talk about line dances.
Okay.
Right? You know, so I remember from my wedding, I told my DJ, no chicken dance.
Yeah.
We hear that a lot.
Of course, that's an oldie, but what are people still doing and what's most popular?
Well, the one thing that I try to tell our clients when they come back and they say, you know, I don't want line dances. I don't like line dances. Believe me, no one wants to hear a line dance less than us DJs.
Right.
We hear it every week, sometimes three or four times a week. But the average wedding guest only gets to a wedding two, maybe three times a year.
Maybe.
And these songs are not played on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to hear them on the radio unless you're playing them on your phone. You don't even get a chance to hear them. So I really try to give my professional opinions to our clients, which is play the line dances.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the problem that we come across, and I had it this past weekend when I had my final meeting, she wanted no line dances. Mm-hmm. And it's your wedding, right? I mean, we're going to execute it the way you want done, and what you want. But I also feel it's my job as the entertainment expert to find out why you don't want that. And is there something I can do? Because while it is the bride and groom's wedding, they've invited 200 guests to join them.
Did she share as to why she didn't? Tell me why she didn't want to do a line dance.
Because nearly every DJ, and you may have seen this, so I say nearly, not all, nearly every DJ, when they play a line dance, they play five line dances in a row.
I've seen that. Yep.
It's just line dance after line dance after line dance. And the reason they do that is because they don't know anything else to do to get people to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And once those line dances are done, those five or six are done, you got people leaving.
Oh, I've seen that personally. And it's like, nobody's on the floor anymore. And then they'll bring another line dance. Nobody's on the floor.
Now, for us, we utilize line dances as tools.
Mm-hmm.
So with the way that we do our schedule, our event schedule, there's a space where we're going to get ready for the toast and the cutting of the cake. And for us, we'll play a line dance right before we do that to stall, to give people time to go to the bar, get their drink, and come back. Meanwhile, the people who want to do the line dance, do the line dance. Oh, mm-hmm. And we never, ever call the bride and groom to the floor to do the line dance.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do it, come do it. If you don't, don't. When we don't do something, I can tell you in my experience, the three biggest requests we get week in, week out, cha-cha slide, wobble, Cupid shuffle.
100%.
Classics.
100%.
Week in, week out. And when people come up and they ask, you know, are you going to play it? And we tell them, no, we're not. Or, hey, you know, it was not on the – it's on the do not playlist. The first person they're running to is the bride.
The bride. Like, why aren't you playing that?
And after the third person gets to that bride, the bride just says, play the song.
Mm-hmm.
So I let them know that. You know, and most of the time, once they find out we're not doing them back to back to back to back,
mm-hmm.
and they find out that we're not going to force them to do it, most of the time they're fine.
Okay.
And we use them to start off the dance sets to bring people back to the floor,
mm-hmm.
and then mix out of it into whatever that dance set's going to be at that point.
What about the anniversary dance? People still requesting that?
Yeah, we do that. Well, I did before I switched over. But, you know, they do it a little differently. You know, years ago and some of our northern friends, it was kind of a thing that they did where you would call the anniversary dance and they would pay money to actually dance with the bride or the groom.
That's the dollar dance.
And they call it the dollar dance, yeah. Uh-huh. too.
It was a little different than what we know the anniversary dance to be today.
Today. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they would come up, they would pin money on the bride's dress with literally a pin, and they would dance with the bride, dance with the groom, and they would use that money to take it, you know, for their honeymoons or whatever. The problem with that was, you know, it takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then with COVID, you know, you're dancing with people you could not know.
Right.
Not know. It's a little strange now. That times are changing. The anniversary dance, as we do a lot now, is where, you know, we call all the married couples out. They come out on the floor together, and we do this around the toast, mm-hmm. cake time.
Right after the cake.
Bring all the married couples out. And then we call them off, you know, how many years you've been married. So when you're done with that song, you're left with the one or two couples that have been married the longest. And mm-hmm. it's kind of nice to, you know, kind of recognize those couples who've been married 50, 60 years. And most of the time it's, you know, a grandparent or, you know, a close family friend.
Right.
And we come out, we talk to them, you know, hey, you've been married for 56 years. You know, who made that first move? Do you remember who picked up who, you know, and get a nice picture. And sometimes our brides will give a bouquet of flowers to mm-hmm. that, to the wife. And there's lots of things you can do to kind of incorporate that. But things are changing with those traditions. But I still like the anniversary dance, and we do get it requested most weddings.
Yeah, I love the anniversary dance. I think it's special, and it does get people out on the dance floor, the couples at least. And going back to the dollar dance, Now, I haven't seen it in a long time, but I do have a wedding that requested it this weekend. So what are you seeing with that?
Well,
and is it regional? I think you said something.
Yeah. I mean, everybody that knows me knows I'm originally from the Philadelphia area. So that's where I started my career, and it's still very, very popular up there. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like it then, but the reason I didn't like it then, and the same reason I don't like it now, is like Frankie said, it eats up a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Now, the way we did it up there was a little different than the pinning. We'd have the maid of honor and the best man stand next to the bride and groom, and then you would pay to dance with them. Mm-hmm. But it was always slow songs.
Okay.
And if the line got big, you could be doing this for 25, 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
And it crashes the wedding.
Yes.
So we ended up, the only time we really get requests for it is if it's somebody coming to do a destination wedding here. Mm-hmm. They're out of state. They're from up north, Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Ohio is big with it too. But one of the things that, I said to her a while back was, I'm pointing to her like everybody can see me. One of the things I said to Frankie a while back was, we got to find out when people want to do it, why they want to do it. Mm-hmm. Are they doing it because they want to dance with everybody in the room, or are they doing it because they want the money?
Right. Or are they doing it because they just think they need to do it?
Yeah, well,
because
they want the money.
They want the money.
Well, everybody wants the money, but it could be that, maybe mom said, you have to do the dollar dance.
It could be. And it may have just in a family, there are traditions that we do for Italian weddings. There are traditions that we do for a Jewish wedding. There are traditions that we do for Irish weddings. So it could be something that was passed down from that family. And to them, that is a tradition. But 9 out of 10 times, like Frankie said, when we ask them, we want the money. Mm-hmm. So we came up with an idea to get them the money and not have to do the dance. And well, you may have seen us do it, but we call it the honeymoon fund. Mm-hmm. And what we end up doing is the maid of honor will run around the room, will play a song, and they'll collect money for the bride. Mm-hmm. The best man will run around the room and collect money for the groom. So it's done separately, but back to back. And the idea here is to see who can raise the most money.
It is a competition.
Whoever does not win, because we don't call anybody losers, whoever does not win has to pay a consequence when the cake cutting happens.
Oh.
The bride always wins.
It's a secret.
That is a secret. Don't tell
nobody. Nobody knows.
The groom could have $700 and the bride could have collected $3. The bride wins.
It's rigged.
But we've come up with two consequences. So one consequence is the groom and the groomsman serenade the bride and the bridesmaids, or the groom puts his hands behind his back and takes a shot of cake.
Oh,
to the face.
Most of them take the shot of cake.
Okay.
Now, I have one of my favorite memories was a wedding I did probably 6 or 7 years ago up in Raleigh. And this groom, he's like, oh, I'm singing. And it was outdoors. There was 250 people there. And we had it all planned out. He had the song chosen. I had it queued up. I'm like, hey, you ready to do this? He's like, yeah, but I don't need you to play the song for me. And I went, whoa, you're going out. You're doing acapella. And the next thing I know, his best man was walking down this walkway playing guitar.
And his
best man was playing this guitar. And then here comes my groom right behind him. And I went, oh, this is going to be good.
Yes.
So all of the guests were gathered around. I had the bride sitting in the middle in a chair, and they came out and played Let Me Lay You Down. It's an old country song. This boy should be on American Idol because I have never heard anybody sing so wonderfully. And he definitely practiced, but he made an impression on his wife that night for sure. But there's things like that can happen from, just some of the stuff that we do. But that was one of my favorite memories of that.
I'm sure that was a really special night. And it's what a personal touch, too.
Yeah.
It's not just a song, right, that everybody shouts to.
Right. And people remember that. They're going to remember that they had a really unique experience at that wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we try to, you know, portray. And that's what we tell folks, you know, we want you to, you know, with Facebook and social media, it's so much easier to contact and keep in connections with folks. And I have bride and grooms that I worked with 10 years ago.
That's true.
Yeah. And more and longer, way longer. And just out of the blue some days, I'll just get a message from just, you know, this random bride from, you know, forever ago. And she'll say, hey, I ran into somebody that was at my wedding and they reminded me just how much fun we had at our wedding. And she said, I just wanted to tell you thank you. And it was so much fun. And we just had a great time. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those people remember, did they have fun or not? They're going to remember that day forever and ever. And, you know, that's all we want is just to make memories. And we want people to remember that, you know, and we joke about it. You know, people, are they going to remember that you had cucumbers and carrots and celery and ranch dip? You know, no. Are they going to remember that they had a good time and it was fun? Yes.
They do remember having a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can remember going to weddings where I'm like, this is so boring.
Yeah.
And then other weddings were like, that was a good time.
Well,
and then you talk about it for, you know,
yeah,
for weeks and months.
I mean, even with catering, you know, we have a bunch of really good caterers here in Eastern
Absolutely.
North Carolina. And, you know, you go to a wedding and you eat the food and the food, you want it to be really good food. But 5 years down the road, they don't remember what they had at your wedding. They might remember it was good.
They'll remember it was good because maybe their daughter's getting married and stuff. So
right.
Right.
They'll
remember it was good food.
Yeah.
But they won't remember specifically what was on the menu. But for us, what we tell people all the time is we're taking you on this roller coaster ride to create moments and memories.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, a guest at the wedding, family member, even the bride and groom, they may leave that wedding with the way that we did our grand entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you know, I do it very upbeat and energetic. Somebody's going to walk away going, man, that was the best entrance I've ever seen. Somebody's going to walk away saying the way that you got people to the buffet was the best thing I've ever seen at a wedding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The way that we get people to the dance floor, and you've witnessed this yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Most weddings, when the DJ starts playing music, 5 or 10 people come to that dance floor.
Right.
Nobody wants to be the first. And, you know, we 10, 12 years ago came up with this idea that has worked ever since. I've never seen it fail, but it brings 95% of the people to the dance floor, that first dance song.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about interacting. So for a lot of people, I'll hear that at the end of the night. The way you got people out to that dance floor was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Father-daughter dance. You know, we really, really tried to make the father-daughter dance very, very special, where it's not just, you know, hey, let's have Lisa and her father, Jim, come to the floor,
mm-hmm.
which is what most DJs do. And people clap and then they start talking again. You know, we create a story from some questions that we ask the bride, and we create this 30-second story that really evokes an emotion into the guests. So they respect the moment that they're in. It makes the father really feel like the bride thought about her. We don't take credit for that. You know, the bride can come up with every one of the things we do. Let them have the credit,
mm-hmm.
but it makes the father really feel like, man, you know, through all this, she thought about me.
Mm-hmm.
And it does evoke an emotion into guests, and we always hear people going, oh, you know, like they just, but it's nice, and people they respect the moment, and that may be a favorite moment. The way that we end the night, we do a 15-minute grand finale. That may be what they remember the most and they loved. When we do garter bouquet, and as we talked about trends a little earlier, and then we'll get back to that, I guess, but we saw garter bouquet going away for a while.
Yes.
But at least with our clients, it seems to be coming back.
Yeah.
And we do a bunch of different fun things with the garter bouquet. And we offer options to everything we do because we want to fit their personality.
I think I think a lot of these brides are not wanting the groom to go up their dress in front of their families.
Right.
So what are you doing for alternatives with that?
So there's lots of things that I personally have done in the past. You know, sometimes we just say, you know, we'll give the garter to the DJ and, you know, you can still throw your bouquet, and then we'll just hand you the garter and we'll get the guys together. We still toss it. You know, they still have that time. I've had brides whose husbands were big football fans. So we'd put the garter on a football and they'd throw the football with the garter around it and still not having to remove it. Something I've seen in the last couple years is a private removal. You know, a lot of our venues have a private bridal suite. I just did this a few weeks ago at the same venue at Copper Ridge. The bride wanted to have pictures of her husband taking the garter off. So we just kind of put them in the bridal suite, let the photographer go in there, get them to take it off. We were still dancing. People were still dancing out with the DJ. But, you know, we could go in there, get that garter off, get the pictures, come out, toss, you know, and that's good. One of the things that I did back in the last summer, you know, I try to talk with the grooms. I'm like, what do you do for a living? You know, what's your job? You know, sometimes we have in this military town, we have pilots, we have Marines, we have, you know, all kinds of stuff. So I had a couple, he was a pilot, him and his groomsmen, you know, put on their aviator sunglasses and their leather jackets. And, you know, they came out and decided to serenade the bride with the whole, you know, you've lost that love and feeling song from the movie. And, you know, we did that instead of removing the garter. And then they tossed things.
Okay.
I had a guy who was a mechanic, and this guy went all out. He brought one of those things that you slide under your car.
Oh, yeah. Like a little.
I know.
I don't know what they call it either.
It's like
a little cart that you attach underneath.
Yes. So they brought, the groomsmen would bring pieces for him to use in the removal. And he really didn't do the removal part, but he got on the cart. He had on a little light on his head. They would bring him tools. And, you know, he was making this big deal about being the mechanic. And, you know, it was not on her leg. We just kind of, you know, played it off. But it was kind of a funny way to incorporate some of his, you know, his likes and also be able to do the bouquet and garter where it wasn't quite so, you know, take going up her dress,
right,
that sort of thing.
So really, you know, and I've heard this through everything that you've been saying today, you really get to know the couple. You make it personal. And I like that. I like to see those personal touches because it means something to them. And there's some of those inside jokes, you know, but most people know that he's a mechanic, for example.
Right.
You know, so it's not truly an inside joke other than to these all these people that are there. And so they enjoy it because of that.
There's so many ways, you know, to put your personality into wedding, as you know, as a planner. I mean, Star Wars is still just as big today as it was when it first came out.
That's true.
And we do a lot of weddings and events where it's a Star Wars theme. And maybe the bride and groom's grand entrance is the main theme to Star Wars. And we've got to play the Darth Vader thing and there's lightsabers all around. And I wish we did more themed type weddings because there's so much you can revolve around them. They're just fun. But, you know, it's really taking a bride and groom and letting them know all the different options because there's so many of them that just don't know.
Of course, unless they've actually witnessed it which most people, like you said, maybe go to one or two weddings a year or might go years, you know, once their friends are all married.
So, you know, I mean, we try to tell everybody and we're very upfront about it. Our company, the brand that we present with entertainment is not for everybody, right? We have a very specific brand. We are fun. We are energetic. We are different and we're unique. If you want the type that's going to be more chilled and you want to pick 5 hours worth of music, we're not the DJ company for you.
Right.
We can still do your photo booth. We can still do your video. She can still do planning. We can still do lighting decor, but we're probably not the right entertainment for you. And that's a big deal for me. And some people, a lot of our peers, Jen, they didn't get it. Like you would just throw money away? Yeah, because I created a brand. And like you said earlier in the podcast, when people want fun, you think of BTA.
Right.
So if you went to a wedding and I was there as the DJ and I didn't do anything you know me doing, you'd probably be like, what's wrong with him?
Right. because I know you are interactive.
Right. Right.
And while I used the word games before, and I will not do that again.
Well, that's
it is interactive.
That's for us.
Yeah.
Other people might still call them games.
And you know, that's something that we always strive to do, because we do go to all these venues over and over and over again. And even though we are doing some of the similar things, you know, everybody's different. There's always different people and they react to things differently. But we do want to make sure that when we go, you know, they know what it's going to be like. You know, when you work with us, you know how it's going to be. When we're at Butterfly Kisses, you know, Katrina knows how we're going to be when we're at this venue. So, you know, we wouldn't ever want to move away from what we've worked so hard for so many years to build that brand. You know, it is a brand, and it took a while for me to catch on when we first started working together. And I see it so clearly now. Yeah, it's right. Just now that I'm into this planning part of the business, it is way different, you know, working with other, you know, DJs, and it's harder, you know, for me to kind of just let that go. And I have to switch over to that planning side and focus on that. But it is, I mean, I see exactly, you know, why BTA does what they do and what we do. And it just makes so much more sense with me now.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you, I wanted to touch on this real fast. There are a lot of times where you and I haven't had this problem. I don't think you've had this problem, but there's a lot of times where there's too many chiefs.
Yeah.
Everybody's running the event. And so, you know, in our contract, we put in there that we run entertainment. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm listening to the client and only the client. I'm not listening to mom. I'm not listening to Aunt Sally. I'm going to work hand in hand with you as a planner. But overall, we're running entertainment the way that we've promised the client we'd run entertainment. And I say this is the book, right? ABC book that the bridal consultants, and it kind of lays out in that formality of grand entrance, first dance, father daughter dance, mother son dance, blessing, dinner, toast, cut the cake, and you've probably had a social or cocktail hour. And you know, we took that and we shook it up. And if you remember back to weddings you've done with us in the past, we don't do that. We split everything up. And the mindset is, well, if we do everything up front, we have all this time to do nothing but dance. But as we talked about earlier, people aren't going to dance for 3 hours straight. The other thing is, most people, at least in my experience, all they want to do is eat.
Yeah, you just fed them at cocktail hour.
Now they want cake. They want their dinner.
Their dinner. It's like they haven't eaten in 3 days sometimes.
And if there is a point at a wedding where we don't do a father-daughter dance or a son and mother dance or a parent dance at all, nobody comes up and goes, "When are you doing the parent dance?" Like that, the normal guest doesn't care.
Right.
They just want to get to dinner. The other thing that I've noticed that, you know, one of the things I've stressed to Frankie and taught her is that these are the two most important men in a bride's life, their new husband and their father. And when those dances are back to back to us, when those dances are back to back, they compete against each other. One always outshines the other. And it depends really on how close the bride is with her dad. So moving that dance away gives dad his own spotlight, where husband has his own spotlight. And then when it comes time to have dinner end, where in the book schedule of events, you'd be going, okay, dinner's over. And everybody's like, yeah, it's time to party. No, we're going into toasts and we're going into the cutting of the cake. And we've all been to toasts that have taken half an hour. I mean, I did one time where one person talked for 45 minutes. There was nothing I could do about it.
I had that happen once too.
Yeah.
In Wilmington, and it was, I was like, are we going to move on here?
So for us, our goal is we're doing all of this, but we're not doing it by the book. We're going to get people to that dance floor as soon as dinner's done, get them out of their seats, make sure they're not bored, get them on the floor and let them know we're going to have a good time. And it works so well for us that we have so many venues that tell us when you guys are here, the guests stay longer. They know that because of how much money the bar is making, of course. The other thing is when the cake is cut right after dinner's done, A, very few people eat it because they're digesting food. And B, the people that said, I'm not doing anything at this wedding anyway, 25% of them will just leave as soon as cake's cut.
Right.
So we've delayed that by half an hour. We give them time to digest their food. We're entertaining them. Now, but when the time comes to cut the cake, half an hour later, they want dessert and they're not thinking about leaving because they're actually having fun. So that's kind of why we do it the way we do it.
Very good. So obviously you talked about being in the wedding business for a long time. Is there any trends that you are so glad is either gone or practically gone? I know we talked a little bit about the dollar dance, but
yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of the dollar dance. I'll do it. If they want to do it, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I am so thrilled that we have gotten away from the chicken dance. And there's still actually, I had a meeting with my bride today. She said she was at a wedding 2 weeks ago and the DJ played the entire chicken dance song.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, yeah, I haven't done that since the 90s. Uh-huh. You know, there are seniors, I think, that expect, and when I say seniors, obviously grandparents, older folks, that I think expect certain things to be at weddings, played at weddings, because mm-hmm. they've always heard them. I.e. the YMCA and the chicken dance and maybe even like Hokey Pokey. Mm-hmm. And we came up with a way to fix that problem too. So we do this interaction we call Show Us You Can Dance, where the bride and groom give us four or five really fun people's names. They don't know they're on the list. Uh-huh. And each clip, 20-second clip of a song has a dance to it. So the twist might be in there. Mm-hmm. MC Hammer can't touch this with his hammer dance. The Carlton from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. But we filter in 20 seconds of those cheesy songs.
Okay.
So older people still get to hear the chicken dance, but it's 20 seconds.
Right.
You know, we still get to hear YMCA and do it, but it's 20 seconds of YMCA. And believe it or not, once we do that, no one ever comes up and says, can you do, even grandparents, nobody ever says, are you doing YMCA tonight? Because they think they heard it.
Did.
We kind of subliminally made them think that we played it.
And I know
that makes sense.
I know a lot of our talk is reception, but the ceremony is very important too.
Yes.
And even though ceremonies have gotten shorter, you mm-hmm. know, I've been married 26 years. My ceremony was an hour and, it was just normal church wedding. You know, we always had two or three songs played or song, you know, is that
somebody
thing.
Said something.
Somebody prayed, you know. But, you know, you blink an eye and it's like, I now pronounce you husband and wife. And we're like, holy moly, that was so fast. I could not tell you the last time I played, you know, Here Comes the Bride.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
know, yeah, that's true.
You know, the mm-hmm. the traditional classical type wedding, formal type wedding, you know, the canon in D, you know, mm-hmm. all of those older songs that we used to use all the time at ceremonies. I don't know when I've played those ever. It's become more contemporary. Mm-hmm. And I love it.
I do too. It makes it unique.
It
too,
does.
And although I'm sure there's commons.
Yeah. I mean, we use a lot of pop, you know, songs that are very popular that have been transitioned into classical style,
like instrumental.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Vitamin String Quartet, yeah. Brooklyn Duo,
Vitamin Piano Series,
yeah,
there's guys, you know,
I mean, even the Bridgerton thing,
exactly.
You know, just using pop music but
right.
creating that sort of
it
feel.
Sounds classical.
It does.
And you're watching that movie and you're like, wait a minute, Taylor Swift didn't play it that time of the, you know?
Right.
And I like to be able to kind of look at people that are out there in the crowd and kind of see them humming along or tapping their foot or singing, and they're like, oh, you know, I know that song, but it's, you know, with violins and cellos and mm-hmm. you know, different. And I love that about weddings now, that it's become a little more laid back, a little more, you know, contemporary feel. And you know, we talk about the receptions a lot, but that's probably my favorite thing that's kind of left us is that classic.
Yeah.
Fanfare.
And you ladies will both get this because you're planners, but pacing has went away. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, you know, right foot to left foot, left foot out, and then right foot to left foot to right foot. Like, that's gone away years ago.
Many years ago,
a waltz beat, you know, one, mm-hmm. two, three, one. You know, we're not worried about that anymore.
Right. Every once in a while, I'll get a bride ask me about it. I'm like, don't worry about it. And usually it's her dad. Well, am I supposed to walk? Just walk.
Yeah.
Everybody walk. Don't walk fast, but just nice pace.
Yeah. And that's a good one. You know, just when you think you're walking too slow, it's okay. Just follow along. You're good.
So I think today the takeaway is if it's important to you to have an interactive and an engaging wedding, then, you know, a company like yours would be very beneficial in choosing versus just somebody that's going to play music in the background. And that's okay for some mm-hmm. people.
Absolutely.
Definitely. I wrote down a couple things. Evoking emotion. I loved that. And then, of course, engaged and making memories, too. So I thank you both for being here today. And I want to thank our listeners for listening. I hope that you're finding our podcast beneficial to you and helping you plan your wedding. And make sure you make it your own and take care.
Thank you very much for having us.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'd also like to thank PS Productions for hosting this ENC Wedding Talk podcast. PS Productions has proudly served our Eastern North Carolina community with quality photography, video, audio productions, lighting, and sound rentals for over 16 years. If you would like to ask questions or have a topic you'd like us to discuss, please email us at encweddingtalkshow@gmail.com. I'm Jennifer Bertling, and I thank you for your time and being with us. Until next time, take care.